Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. And we are broadcasting live today from Harrington, Delaware. Delaware. See, you can tell I'm from the South. Harrington, Delaware here at the Cooptastic event brought to you by the Delaware State University Extension Service here. And we're going to have a great show lined up for you today. There's lots of things going on. We've got Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. We've got some other great chicken experts here. Our good friend Dr. McCray is here. The crowd is starting to billow in. We've got lots of vendors. We've got some beautiful chicken coops here on site. We are in the Dover Building. The Dover Building here at the State Fairgrounds, just outside of the Delaware State University, and all kinds of great happenings going here, and lots of education. I'm going to see if I can go over and get kind of an outline of all the great classes that are going on here and the people here who are teaching the classes. So we do hope to run a full two-hour radio show for you today. I must say, and I regret it this particular time, that our HD video is down, but nonetheless, you will be able to go into the live chat room and meet some great friends from around the country and chat and ask your questions to the special guest we have in the chat room, and then, of course, you'll be able to listen live for the entire show. Now, if Blog Talk Radio gets back to me here during the show or somehow on there and activates, this happens on occasion where there's a little glitch in their software and we won't be able to open the video. But we got everything ready on our end, the video cam and of course, high definition. All of our equipment seems to be up and working very well. So we hope to have video before the show's over. If not, well then, Blog Talk Radio is going to feel the wrath of the Chicken Whisperer breathing down their throat. So, but no problems there. The show must go on. We're glad you tuned in today. And we're going to take a short break to honor some of our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, and author, of course, the lovely Pat Foreman. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back broadcasting live on location from Cooptastic in Harrington, Delaware. Again, this radio show ever it is brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's WAREMFGINC.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Again, if you're just tuning in, we are broadcasting live from Cooptastic here in Harrington, Delaware. It's an awesome event. But before we go any further, we are going to go right here and introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, and author, Pat Foreman. Welcome, Pat. Do you hear anything over there on that end, on the technical end? Okay, give us a second here.
No, here. I was muted out.
Okay, I thought it might have been on my end, Pat. No problem.
No, it was my end. I was doing some other things. It was kind of clackety clickety clack, and I didn't want my mute, you know, to disrupt the show. So here we go. It's Saturday. So.
Good deal. Hey, while I've got you, speaking of technical difficulties, I want to let everybody know, because a lot of times on Saturdays, we do have a lot of first-time listeners. We do take this show on the road quite a bit across the country, and when we're meeting great folks and going to events and spreading the chicken love around the country, we sometimes have some technical difficulties. So here's kind of the drill if you're new. If all of a sudden we just disappear, don't go anywhere. We're working on it. We'll be back and continue to broadcast live. Right now, it may be I'm having some issues with my switchboard, so it may be that Blog Talk has gotten into my account and started working to try to get us our live HD video up and running for today. So that's what we're hoping for. But if you're new, we do have the live chicken chat room going on, and we've got the live radio show going on today, and we're going to try to get video before it's over. Keep your fingers crossed, because that's everybody loves to watch CNN Chicken News Network live video when we go to events. But if something should happen, we all of a sudden disappear. Sometimes Pat will still stay on, and so she'll automatically just kind of continue the show with telling chicken jokes and things like that and having fun with our audience. But
collaborate along, right?
There you go. Exactly. Whatever works. And so again, if on these events, because we're at liberty with the internet gods of what's going on and what works and what doesn't, and about half my icons right now have disappeared. I'm trying to get that back up. So if we all of a sudden disappear, stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll try to get back on as soon as we possibly can, as well as with the we're at liberty of our laptop batteries, too, as we become mobile and go around the event. So as soon as we get Dr. McCray over here, she's going to tell us about what this event is. It's the second annual Cooptastic, and it's a great time. We got up here. We took Amtrak up here, had a great time, checked into a beautiful, beautiful bed and breakfast. I know this. Then we got over here yesterday and got kind of set up with our little booth. Saw Peter Brown, the chicken doctor here from First State Vet Supply, and many others, and there's going to be some awesome 4-H and FFA here. So, y'all know her because she comes on the first and third Thursdays of every month. Great friend and wonderful, very knowledgeable person. Dr. Bridget McCray is here with us, and this is kind of your baby every year. This is the second annual, so tell us, and we're still working on live video. Maybe we'll have it up before the end of the show, but still, we're broadcasting the live radio. You can tell us what this event is all about.
Cooptastic was something that I put together because everybody was asking me how to get started with a chicken flock. And I started a small education series and wasn't getting a big amount of interest because it was repeated. I knew I needed to put something together that had a whole lot more in the way of entertainment and vendors to really make it more of an event. So this one-day conference was born last year.
Awesome. I know a lot of people, hundreds of people attended last year. We hope the same again for this year. And I'm going to try to get over there because I left it back at the bed and breakfast, kind of a schedule of events that's going on today, so we can share that with everybody. So we've definitely got to get one of those. But tell us a little bit some of the things that are going on, some of the topics that are going to be discussed in the little classroom sessions we have in the building. And then tell us a little bit more, which I think will be after we're done broadcasting live, but about, of course, everybody is always curious about the Avian Bowl. But what are some of the things, some of the classes and workshops that are going to be taught here today?
Well, outside of the contest that we will be holding throughout the day, like right now, we have Incubation and Brooding 101 with Miss Susan Gary, one of our extension agents here in Delaware, and she's an educational coop number one. And then over at the opposite end of the building, we have Dr. Greg Martin, all the way from Penn State University, talking about how to get started with your flock. And so a lot of the beginning information that you need if you haven't had chickens yet, and a lot of good information if you've had chickens for a while, regardless.
Absolutely. And then, of course, a little bit later on, we'll have, I believe it's the 4-H, we'll have some teams come in and participate in the Avian Bowl. Tell us a little bit about what that consists of.
Avian Bowl is a knowledge quiz, so there's no bird ownership required. So this is fine for city kids who may never hold a chicken in their life, but they'll certainly be prepared after 4 years of maybe participating in Avian Bowl. After 4 years, that's basically, not 100%, but basically like getting an introduction to poultry science class under your belt before you even get to college. So at 1 o'clock, we will have our Avian Bowl. At noon, we have the written examination so that we can properly seed the teams. At 10:30, our egg judging contest will start. And then, of course, throughout the day, we have different talks, like, say, on composting, natural egg dyes. We've got a lady here who has traditional egg dyes like you get at Walmart, those Paws brand. And she'll compare that and show you eggs that she's boiled with, say, cherry juice or beet juice or cabbage or even walnut shells. Well, you can't eat those, but because then they're poisonous. So don't eat those eggs. But then throughout the day, we've got talks on different subjects such as biosecurity, one of my favorite topics, nutrition 101. We've got a gentleman coming from University of Delaware who's going to talk about good old small flock equipment. So have you ever thought about nipple drinkers? One of the greatest inventions to agriculture. Putting that in your small coop is really easy and is a huge time saver. Over in our field coop that we have up in the front of the building, we have a plisson or bell drinker hooked up so that people can see how that works and how easy it is. Doesn't take much to make that happen. And then a couple of other talks will be along the lines of diseases. We have Dr. Daniel Bautista. He's our poultry diagnostician for the state, and he's going to talk also about vaccinations.
And you said, do we have someone lined up to talk about nutrition?
Yes, that's Dr. Jennifer Timmons from the University of Maryland. She will be here to talk in the morning about Nutrition 101.
Very good. What time will she get here? Because I'm going to pick her brain about yogurt and chicken.
Very good, Andy. I hope you do. I hope you do.
I love it. I love it. So, no, very good. So, awesome, because that's one of the things, the hot topics we've had over the past, breaking that myth about yogurt and chicken. So, perfect. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We are mobile, so we're going to go around and talk to some of these great vendors and obviously some of the kids and pick some brains of some folks. And I think coming up, I want to say 10:30 or 11, they're going to be building a hoop house.
Yes. That will be Mr. Wazelkowski, one of the judges that you met down in Noonan, Georgia. He will be building on site a pastured hoop house.
Yeah, right here, Jen. Isn't that awesome? So, again, hopefully that. Thank you very much, Dr. McRae, for coming out and doing the interview. So, Pat, you still with us?
Yep, I'm here. I'm here.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm going to try
to
take this here again and see what we can get. As long as, even if my little icons are missing, as long as it works when I press the button, then we should be all well and good. I'm going to go ahead and unplug my laptop here and see if we can't go mobile with this cart and go throughout this. We're in the Dover building here at Cooptastic. You know what? Let me get over here to the chat room. And, of course, it is filling up. No problem at all. A little louder. Okay, hang on one second. Let me turn up my volume. I think I may be maxed out. Apologize about that, folks. All of our connections are always a little bit different. Get in. Hey, Dragonfly Farms, East Dallas, Dave, Aaron, welcome. Glad you could join us. I know that you were an avid chat room chickeneer during the week, and so glad you got that. I think it was a teaching job that you got. So we're glad to see you on a Saturday. Lots of guests in the chat room today. Thank you very much for joining us, guest. If you do take just a moment to register, then you can come on in, get your little creative chat name, come on in, meet some new friends from all over the country. We've got Kimberly, who's actually doing a fabulous job trying to get chickens legal in her county here, down there in the Atlanta area. We got Kara and KY Roos. Thank you for joining us this Saturday morning. Love for Poultry, Mo Chicks. Hadn't seen that one, I think, in a while, so thank you for joining us. Pat's in there. Ralph, hello. Tater Farm, Teacher Jen. And let's see, Ralph's in there. Walter hasn't joined us yet, up in Connecticut, so maybe he's out shoveling some snow up there in Connecticut.
Do you have snow up there? Is it snow, Whisper?
No snow here. In fact, it's a beautiful day. It's crisp and clear, and it was about 40 this morning, and I should get up to about 45. It's really nice. It's not that cold at all, but Walter up in Connecticut, of course, he's been snowed in, I think, ever since Thanksgiving up there in Connecticut.
That's right. Oh, dear.
So he's always sharing his disappointment with the snow, so very, very funny. So,
we're supposed to get 4 to 6 inches here in the Shenandoah Valley. It's going to start tonight and just keep snowing through the evening, I guess. So
you know, really? Because
yeah,
you know, we're leaving,
I was surprised.
We're leaving Amtrak, let's see, tomorrow. And so I think they may have said something about snow. So I'm going to have to watch that because even though they upgraded our rental car to a little bit more of a luxurious rental car, they did not we didn't upgrade to a 4x4 or a SUV. So we'll just have to see what happens.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I mean, here it's only like 4 inches. That's not may miss you guys. I'll check it. I'll just go ahead and check it right now.
Yeah, let us know what's going on because, but holy cow, they got the equipment to deal with it up here. We've got about one snowplow down in Atlanta, probably for the whole state, and they've got one for every probably square mile up here. So there. Let me see if he's got the wheels turned. You have to turn. I think mine are locked straight, so we're just kind of playing around with We're playing with the cart here.
Here's what it says. Snow is going to fall for over 1,000 miles on the Mid-Atlantic and North Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Twisters, wildfires, and snowstorms.
Wonderful.
That's from weather.com. I'm there with weather.com.
Put in there for up here in Wilmington, see what's going on, and see what's going on in Wilmington, and
okay.
We'll see. Let me just go over here, back over to the chat room. Let me see Blog Talk Radio if they've got in our video up and running now. I seriously doubt it. It's a Saturday; they're probably all still asleep over there. And this, y'all know, in the past this has occasionally happened, and there's some kind of internal error that they get where they need to just switch it on. And so, yeah, no video yet, so I do apologize about that. But, hey, the video was new, so for a couple of years we did live radio and whatnot. So, all righty, just I have to be your eyes and ears now. So I'll try to do the best that I can regarding being your eyes and ears while we're here at Cooptastic. And we left our booth, and we come up, and here we have a booth with the Chestnut Grove 4-H. And it looks like that I'm to put my name on some of these awesome treats. So who'd like to come over and be on the radio? Come on, somebody come on over. Come on over. They're like, no, not me.
They're intimidated by your new haircut.
What hair?
Yeah, and clean shaven.
Clean shaven. That may be the issue there. Well, you lucked out because our HD video isn't happening to working today, but we're still live radio. And so it looks like the Chestnut Grove 4-H is here doing some fundraising. And we've got hot dogs and baked goods and chips and sodas and some wonderful-looking chocolate cupcakes, Pat, and some brownies, icing brownies, it looks like. Yeah, Pat. Yeah, come on now.
Chocolate brownie, cupcakes, fat.
I guess we got hot dogs in the heater over there, and we got fresh baked goods and cookies. So were y'all a part of the event last year?
Yes, we were.
And how did that work out for you?
It was great.
Wonderful. Very good. And what are some of the activities y'all do when y'all do the fundraising with your 4-H?
We once a year, we have a conservation overnight, and the fundraising helps pay for the meals and the crafts that the kids do, and we do crafts throughout the year at our meetings, and it goes right back into the club.
Do y'all have an avian bowl club, too, or a team?
No, actually, I only have one child that's in does poultry, so no, we do not have a team.
Hey, that's all right. No, but hey, you've got one that does poultry, so that's always a plus, and very good. And about how many members do you have of the Chestnut Grove 4-H right now?
We're a small club. We have about 15 kids.
15? That's great. That's actually more than the one that a newly one started in North Atlanta, actually, that's been going on for a couple of years. So that's still good, and there's so many different clubs, so that's great that y'all have taken the effort to do that and educate the kids. What's your most popular event or project that the kids like to do?
Well, in the past, it's been probably wildlife and conservation, because the previous leaders all work for State of Delaware Fisheries and Wildlife, so that was the emphasis. This is my third year as the leader, and I'd say we're leaning more, getting more now into the probably home economics of foods and crafting. I'm getting ready to teach crochet and knitting and things like that.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for being here, and we'll try to come by later and take part in some of these goodies.
All right.
Thank you so much. That's the Chestnut Grove 4-H. And as we're in this huge, huge, huge agricultural building here, and, of course, it is the metal roof building, and we are very, very large building. Next, it looks like we have the tables with all of the auctions. I think it's called a Chinese auction, but basically, I'm trying to think what
cool.
You do. I guess you buy so many tickets, and then every prize or every item on every table has a number. In kind of a big paper bag. So you actually come in and drop tickets in the bag of whatever prize you'd like to win, and then they do a drawing. And so
what a good idea.
Yeah, table 5 drawing is at 3, table 4 drawing is at 3, some drawings are at 2, so you hang out, and you've got the drawings here. And so let's say, in fact, actually see right now, I see a sweeter heater here on this particular table, and then we've got a lot of different types of waterers. We've got some dish towels. We've got some Chick Central chicken posters from ManaPro. We've got, looks like, a set. And then I do wish I had video. I'm going to try one more time, because I'm going to tell you some of the grand prizes today for some of the kids' events. It's amazing. There are these huge, huge, huge chocolate hens. They are, Pat. They have white white and dark chocolate hens. Jen's going over there to get a picture of them, and I don't know if she'll be able to get them. We'll definitely get all the pictures we're taking on our Facebook page later today. We've already posted a lot. But I believe they're 3 pounds. 3 pounds of chocolate. They're huge. They kind of remind me, do you remember the old Depression glass candy dishes that mm-hmm. kind of some of them were shaped like a hen, and they were different
yep.
colors, and some of them were just huge. Yep. These look like they're probably about 10 inches long and probably about 10 inches tall, and that's what it reminds me of. But, yeah, 3 pounds of chocolate is some of the prizes here for for some of the kids today. So it's and that's on the table back there for the drawings. But we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tables full of different types of drawings that you can do. Okay, she's going to
wow.
turn up another picture here before we continue.
Somewhere there's a whole set of Good Earth Publications books that we set up for to help fundraise for the Cooptastic. Whisper? Yeah.
Just steer it, not me. my steerer is not paying attention here. So, okay. We just ran into some people.
Oh, dear. You're on the move. And you don't,
we're on the move.
We
don't even know it. Okay, some of the other things we have. We've got bags of Chick Starter from ManaPro. We've got Happy Hen Treats. Actually, on just about every table, Pat, I see your books. City
All
Chicks,
right.
Chicken Tractor, Day Range Poultry, Backyard Market Gardening. I see a 3-gallon waterer. Why do we have a 3-gallon waterer? So you don't have to change it out every day. And we've got some big feeders. We've got actually some show boxes here. We got some lay-in pellets. I see a nice gift bag from MyPetChicken.com, a sponsor of the show. I see some gift bags from McMurray Hatchery. And more posters from ManaPro. Oh, we've got a chicken waterer heater. We've got a heated chicken waterer here as well. We've got some T-shirts from a lot of sponsors. So we really got 5 tables of awesome drawing prizes. As we come over here to the front of the building, everybody who enters gets a huge, huge plastic bag of goodies. And it's got notebooks in it. It's got pens in it. It's got all kinds of information in it from lots of vendors and catalogs. We were looking through it last night at the bed and breakfast. Lots of information. You come out here, I think it's $10 at the door. If you pre-registered within, I guess, a couple of months ago, Pat, you get free lunch. So if you pre-registered, you'll get a free lunch today. If you didn't and you come on out, then I think it's $10 at the door, $5 if you're a child, and you get this huge packet full of information and all kinds of different types of goodies from everybody who's sponsoring here. Hang on. Okay, great, wonderful. We're going to line up a couple of more interviews for our folks who are listening live today. Some Avian Bowl participants that are going to be participating in the Avian Bowl here after the show, of course, goes off the air. I think it's at 1:00. So Jen and I will get a bite for lunch, and then we'll go and we're going to watch this Avian Bowl, Pat, because these kids, let me see, there was one here last night that was just sharp as a pin. I mean, regarding his poultry education, it was
wow,
wonderful. She's doing such a great job interviewing these kids here with the Avian Bowl. So, yeah, let's do that. We're thanks, technical person. We're going to go ahead and try to go to a short commercial break. Yeah, it's Jen, my technical person. Yeah, she's the. What's so funny? So
that's just very funny. Technical funny. Person. I mean, she's your wife.
She's my technical person today. So yeah, she kind of keeps me on track regarding the commercials and all the stuff that we're kind of required to do. So okay, perfect. Yep, excellent. Right after break. Yep, bring them right on over. Okay, hopefully this will work, folks. We're broadcasting live today from Cooptastic, Harrington, Delaware. Great event, lots of people, and we hope to bring you lots of great interviews today. So stay with us.
Looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often.
join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, broadcasting live from Cooptastic here in Harrington, Delaware. Pat, you still with us, my friend?
Yes, indeed, I am here.
We didn't have a lot of host chat this morning, so I'm glad you could join us this Saturday. What do you have in store for this weekend?
Oh, well, a snowstorm. I brought in a big pile of wood. I've got my wood stove going. I'm going to go into town shortly, and I've got some friends coming in, so they might be with me tonight, but I've got a bunch of errands to do, and then I'm going to do Zumba. Zumba, yeah.
Zumba. Alrighty.
Yeah, there's a Zumba class this afternoon, so it always gets my blood going, and the music's so happy and life-giving, and the moves are so provocative, but
there's just nothing quite like, you know, being as you are, and we have this new show now once a month with our good friend Andrew Odom with tinyrevolution.us, being a minimalist. There's just nothing like naked Zumba being a minimalist, right? Tell us about that.
Oh, Lord. That I wouldn't want to participate in. That's a little more bounce than I'm willing to give.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'm kind of a little worried now. I'm going to have to go check the weather and see what's going on, because we got about an hour and a half drive back to an hour and a half back to Wilmington. But you know what? If we can get back safely, it's going to be so awesome when we get on that train. If we have to train through a nice heavy snowstorm, I think that would be actually the bomb. How beautiful would that be? It's already a beautiful ride, but how awesome is that to take the train through many states, including Virginia?
Because you go through places that you just never see in a car or even walking.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful country.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Well, it is now time to interview a couple of young ladies who are going to be participating today in, of course, the Avian Bowl. Is that correct? All right. Let's start right here. Tell us your name.
My name's Naomi.
Naomi. And how old are you?
I'm 13 years old.
13. And how long have you been studying up and participating in the Avian Bowl contests?
This is our first year.
First year. All right. Very good. Now, my understanding is that about 12 o'clock, y'all take a written test. And then they kind of go over that to make sure the teams are kind of even where they are. And then at 1 o'clock, I guess the Avian Bowl actually starts. And what's your favorite part about the Avian Bowl?
My favorite part about the Avian Bowl is getting up and to compete with people so we can make each other better.
Now, how many people are normally on a team?
Four.
Okay, just four people. Okay, four people per team. And and walk us through it, because I've never seen or participated in the Avian Bowl, and the radio show will be long and over before we actually get to that. Do y'all sit around a table? Is it kind of like Jeopardy, and you have to press a button or ring a bell? Tell us about that, and we'll go to our next person. Tell us your name.
Hi, I'm Alyssa.
Melissa? Alyssa, good. And how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
12 as well. And so our all of our radio listeners, since we don't have our video today, we're trying to, you know, paint a really nice picture of them about the Avian Bowl. So tell us about kind of how it works. Do you sit around a table? Do you have a bell to ring? Do you have one person that's asking the questions? Tell us a little bit about how all that works.
Well, it's four people sitting at the table, and there's four buzzers. And there's somebody asking the question, and the first one to hit the buzzer must answer the question right.
Okay, and if you blurt out an answer, or do you just disqualify? Do you lose points, or you just don't get to answer that one?
You get to lose points.
You lose points by blurting out the answer, like, oh, that's the answer, yes.
5 points you lose.
5 points. And how many points do you get for a correct answer?
5 points.
So you would, so that answer you just answered correctly, you would lose those 5 points if you blurted it out. Now, how about, is there a, you lose points for a wrong answer, or you just not gain points?
Well, for a wrong answer, you lose 5 points.
Interesting. So you get 5 for a right one, you lose 5 for a wrong one, you lose 5 for disqualifications. Are there any other disqualification rules that, well, I say disqualification, any other ways you can lose points?
Yes. If you have answered a buzzer and she has not said your number, you lose points.
So, okay, explain that one more time.
If you had ringed a buzzer and she has not said your number, you had lose 5 points.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, interesting. Another lose 5 points, right. And, okay, now, what if, let's say, hang on, let me get over here to the soundboard here, and I'll share with you since you can't hear on this end. Let's say that I was participating in the Avian Bowl, and somebody rang the bell, and they blurted out the wrong answer. If I did something like this, how many points would I lose?
You lose 5 points. That's kicking out when she didn't call.
I think you'd be disqualified.
my co-host back in Virginia says I should be disqualified if I did that. So yeah, that would be like unsportsmanlike conduct, right?
Yes.
Definitely frowned. Right. Definitely frowned upon. But I can tell you, if I was participating in the Avian Bowl today, every time I would ring my bell and answer it, I would probably hear
na, 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 na,
quite a bit from the other team, because let me tell you, these young folks are very, very smart. That's one thing after lunch we are definitely going to be observing, getting pictures of, is the Avian Bowl. How cool is that? You know, when Dr. McCray came on the radio show a lot, and she still does, and talked about Avian Bowl, the first thing that entered my mind was like going out to a restaurant and saying, yes, I'd start off with the appetizer. I'd like the salad first. I want a Caesar salad. And then I think for my main course, I want an Avian Bowl, fried, not grilled. And then for dessert, I have the cheesecake. So here I was thinking Avian Bowl was something I might get at a restaurant.
That's
but
cute.
Now it's not. It's like Jeopardy. It's a real buzzer. And do you each have your own buzzer in front of you?
Yes, we all get a buzzer. And there's four people, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4. So we're all lined up.
Four people. And so all four of you could buzz in at the same time if you all know the answer, but then, oh, no. No, okay. So see, we're still learning. Okay. Huh? Oh, each team member studies for different things. So you might be a specialist in nutrition, and you might be kind of a specialist in disease?
Yes.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Hmm. So that's pretty. See, you learn something every day new on this radio show. That's so cool. So she'll ask a question for, say, particular numbers. Like this question is for team numbers one, and then this question is like for team members number two. Is that how that works?
Well, they have it as two teams, and one team is right here, and the second team, and we're all lined up, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're all across each other. And the first one to hit the buzzer, even if you're on the same team, it's always the first one who hits the buzzer, and they answer the question.
The person who buzzes in has to answer, and you can't consult with another team member. It is all on you. Okay, but you're competing for time, so she asked the question, and both teams have a chance to buzz in. So it also has to do with agility and how fast you can hit that doggone buzzer. And to like, do your hands have to be in your laps or on the tables? Or oh, you can put your hand on the buzzer, you're holding that buzzer. Kind of like in Jeopardy, you have that little button sitting here hitting. See, what would happen, Pat, if I was doing that? I would just I'd hit it like 900 times. And then, of course, after I would say my answer, then the other team would go.
Na, 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 na.
So this is going to be interesting.
Oh,
and you know what?
Sure.
This is so funny. Ready for this? I talked to Dr. McCray yesterday. Last night I was here. And when I found out there was going to be an avian bowl and this awesome competition, I asked her. I said, so, on my way back to the bed and breakfast tonight, I'm going to stop by a sporting goods store because I'm all about competition. And I told her, I said, I can just see it now. Dr. McCray is going to ask a question. And when your team gets it right, I'm going to get one of those real loud horns and go,
oh, no. Oh, dear.
I know. How about that, Pat? Wouldn't that be cool? Everybody's all
concentrating
on the avian bowl. And the next thing you know, here's the chicken whisperer in the background with one of those big air horns. And when they answer it right, you hear in the background, wah! Now, that would really add some spark to the avian bowl, don't you think? We can go ahead and print up pom-poms, and we can get big banners,
feathers,
and we can get air horns, feathers, all kinds of stuff, and confetti and throw it everywhere. Now, see, even though that's not maybe accepted now, can you imagine the very first team that did that? That would really be a psychological advantage towards the other team. The other team would like, what's going on here? I can't concentrate. There's buzzers going off everywhere. So, yeah, we'll see how that may pan out. I may have to go up here and get one of those big, loud air horns so I can root for my
face. Oh, cool. Whisper, I'm getting a headache just thinking about it.
You know, there's an old people at the graduations that, you know, are now graduating, Ann Smith. Wah! You know, you're like, sit down and shut up. Well, thank you very much, ladies. Hopefully I'll see you participating over in the Avian Bowl. And right after you answer a right question, if you hear something in the background, go, wah! Then you'll know it's just the chicken whisperer having a little fun. So thank you very much. All righty. How cool was that? Love to interview the kids. They're just such a hoot. They are just such a hoot. Let me get over here to the chat room. Avian bowl. Yes, I'd like to have a side salad and then a grilled avian bowl for my main entree. Now, we're coming over here to the next education.
Always comes to food, doesn't it? That's like in my family growing up. Everything always came back to food, no matter what it was.
And so we're coming over here to the demonstration area. It's like a classroom area in one corner over here. And they are actually live right now, as you heard, building a hoop house. They're building a hoop house. And, oh, I wish I could show you this. I'm telling you, I'm just so aggravated that Blog Talk Radio doesn't have my video up and running, and I haven't got any contact back from them through my tech support, even though now they're charging me for all these great benefits that don't work. So sorry, Blog Talk Radio. I actually love you. So no video. So I'm just going to explain to you kind of what they're doing. They have a wooden frame built. And let me see if I can get a little bit closer. They have a wooden frame built. It looks like it's probably out of maybe 3x3s, 3x3, not quite as big as a 4x4. And so they have a wooden frame built. And then what they have now is it looks like it's some maybe 4-foot wire. It looks like some heavy gauge wire fencing. And they've got that bent from one side of the wood frame to the other, as you can think, hoop house. And they're actually building that right now live. And it looks like there's probably about 40 or 50 people, Pat, 40 or 50 people participating in this particular educational segment about how to build a hoop house using livestock panels. So that's what they just have these flexible wire livestock panels. They've got the frame of the hoop house built out of wood, and then they're taking these wire livestock panels, bending them over to meet from one end to the other, and then there's your hoop house. And it'll be interesting to swing back by here and see how they enclose the ends. I guess you could use this for example, pastured poultry as a tractor throughout your pastures and on your property or in your backyard. So right now we've got, and so maybe you can come out next year about hearing everything that they're doing here, doing a demonstration on the on live how to build a hoop house. So very, very cool. Again, I wish I had my video working because we were really looking forward to that. So people who couldn't be here, Walter is now in the chat room. Walter, thank you very much. We were talking about you earlier, Walter, and we noticed when you weren't here, actually, we thought you might have been shoveling out the blazer. We talked about snow. I said, hey, Walter's not here. I was going down the list of all the folks and all our regulars, and we noticed Walter wasn't there, but now he is. And someone made the comment that he was shoveling out the blazer from all the snow they've had up there in Connecticut. So very cool. So welcome, welcome, Walter. If you're just joining us live, we are broadcasting live from Cooptastic, a big event here in Harrington, Delaware, and with the Delaware State University and our good friend Dr. McCray. And we're just kind of making our rounds. We're live and we are mobile, going around. We've already had some great interviews with some of the kids. We'll interview some more kids here in a little bit. And again, I do sincerely apologize. We're at the liberty of the technical gods here when we do go on the road. So no HD video today. I apologize, but we've only had HD video for about 3 months, and we really enjoy it. We kind of got spoiled with doing our on-site events with the last 2 years. We would just do the live radio, but then when we got video, we kind of got spoiled. Went out and got an HD webcam and the whole nine yards, so y'all could participate and seeing what we see. But now you just have to rely on me to actually do do the best I can to describe it and be your eyes and ears here. So working on the hoop house. Looks like we got a couple of panels already up on the hoop house. Looks like they're using just some basic twist ties to join the livestock panels together. So, again, big wooden frame at the base, and then they're getting the livestock panels. They're bending them over from one side to the other to make the top and the sides of the hoop house, and then they're connecting both the livestock panels that they've put on so far to this frame, connecting that with it just looks like good, pretty stout and heavy-duty twist ties to hold those together. So that's one demonstration we have here. Okay, we're going to go ahead. We do have some demonstration here of some... believe it or not, some chickens. I wish you could see them. We've got some beautiful-looking birds here. I'm just going to go through here. We've got a beautiful buttercup. We've got silver-laced cochins. In fact, that's one reason why we like video as well, folks, is because when we do this and we broadcast live on location, especially at our poultry shows, you can actually see some of the judging going on. You can see a lot of the varieties of the birds, the different breeds of the birds. So we regret that, but I just have to describe what we're seeing here, and maybe you can come on out next year. So we've got the Barred Plymouth Rock breed, Plymouth Rock variety, Barred, cold hardy, yes, egg production, average, feed consumption levels, high, comb type, single, temperament, curious, sweet, social, outgoing, good with children, yes, brown egg. And that's a good-looking Barred Plymouth Rock right there. We got the White Plymouth Rock as well. Buff Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock variety, buff, cold hardy, yes, egg production, average, feed consumption, high. Comb type, single comb. Temperament, sweet, curious, independent, outgoing. Good with children, yes. And of course, we got Jen getting some pictures of this, which, of course, we'll post on our Facebook page. Here's just an absolutely beautiful bird, if you're familiar with them, Pat. The Partridge Plymouth Rock. Beautiful, beautiful plumage. Absolutely beautiful. Plymouth Rock variety partridge. Cold hardy, yes. Egg production average. Feed consumption high. Single comb. Good temperament. Good with children. Brown egg. But it's a beautiful, beautiful bird.
They are.
Being up here in Delaware, we do have, of course, a Delaware that we have here. Imagine that. Let's see if we can't get an interview with the Delaware bird. Hello. Of course, you know, everybody loves this when we do it in video because I put the microphone up to the cage. Hello. She's preening herself right now for the interview. Pardon me. She's preening herself to make sure she looks good for the camera. Okay, we have Golden Wyandotte. Breed, Wyandotte, variety, golden, cold hardy, yes. Egg production, average. Feed consumption, high. Ooh, hello. Okay, have somebody who's got a little angry, a little jealous that I was interviewing the Delaware bird and not her. He's got a rose comb and Goodwood children, of course, yes. And then, of course, ready for this breed that we all love, Pat? The Buckeye. The Buckeye.
Hey, the Buckeye. Buckeye from Ohio.
This one got her foot caught. She got her foot caught. I was about to have to rescue a bird, Pat. About to have to rescue a bird. So we got Rhode Island Red. We have some sex-linked brown egg layer. The Black Langshan. Hello. And we've got Barnwelder. We've got some Barnwelders here. Well Summers. Silver Spangled Hamburg. And if y'all have never seen a Silver Spangled Hamburg, I know there's many different types of... anyway, it looks like somebody... looks like somebody took a white bird and then got a Sharpie, a wide-tip Sharpie, and then just started poking it with a Sharpie. It's quite funny. Silver Leghorn.
I think you have judge potential. I think you might want to consider that as one of your careers.
No,
that description
was
absolutely, you know, American standard of perfection quality.
Exactly. Yeah. Next thing you know, I'm gonna that description alone of the Silver Spangled Hamburg might get me in the APA ABA Judging Hall of Fame. Right there. You
heard it. Or in fame.
I'm your eyes and ears, and I'm telling you, if you picture again a smaller bird that is white color, and then literally somebody took a black wide tip Sharpie and just started stabbing it over and over and over, poking it with that Sharpie, then there you go. You've got your Silver Spangled Hamburg.
Bird abuse.
We got single comb white leghorn, the blue Andalusian. I love that color. And black Menorca, dark Cornish. Got the Cornish over here, Jen. It's just the Cornish. They just look so friendly and so peaceful, just sitting there because it's just they can't waddle anywhere. They're just sitting there. Now the dark Cornish when it.
It's true. I
know.
They're so stocky and stumpy little legs. Where are they going to go?
I know. Exactly. I love when I go to shows and see the dark Cornish because they're just sitting there and they're like,
oh,
hello. Yes, I'm the dark Cornish.
The couch potatoes
many people's favorite, the Buff Orpington. The Buff Orpington. Beautiful, beautiful birds. But you know what I didn't see here? I didn't see one of your favorite breeds, Pat. The Chanticleer.
Oh, the Chanticleer. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It's still pretty rare. I mean, it's on the critical list, meaning less than there's 500 breeding pairs in North America. So it's still
amazing.
Pretty rare.
Okay. Now, we're coming down. We've gone through a little bit of the building here, and we're coming down the side of the building here just to let you know. And we're coming down here. We've got 4, 5, 6 tables with our good friend Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. And
Peter's there.
He is here. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
How is he?
We need you here, Pat. There would be you and me and Dr. Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, PhD, Bridget McCray, and just it's the who's who, man. We need you here. But I know you're going to do your best to try to get to our event in Virginia next month.
That'll be easy.
But, yeah, we're coming down. He's got many, many tables set up here with feeders and waterers and wazine. He's got the oxine. He's got the poultry protector. He's got all kinds of – he's got the vaccinations. He's got so it looks like he's got some happy hen treats. He's got all kinds of goodies to put in the water. He's got water bases. He's got feeders. you name it. He's got everything there at First State Vet Supply. For our good friend, again, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, from Nonetheless, we're going to try to interview him, First State Vet Supply.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us. Somebody asked in the chat room, is Cooptastic a full poultry show or is it just a demo trade show? And, okay, hang on. Okay, well, you know what? We hate to do this, but it looks like I just got a little instant message here. Because she is so busy, she's got some guests coming and, of course, a big snowstorm to prepare for. Our wonderful co-host who joins us every day, Monday through Friday at noon, author Pat Foreman, is going to have to break away from the live broadcast right now. But, Pat, we hate to see you go, but we understand snowstorm on the way, guests coming over. I know you have to get out and chop a lot of wood today to keep the home fires burning.
Well, the wood's already chopped, Whisper, but sometime later this afternoon, I do got to get my Zumba in, so I'm
going to be
sedentary.
Zumba. Yep, you're all natural, minimalist lifestyle Zumba. Yeah, absolutely. So, no, very good. Go and do some Zumba for us. We'll be thinking about you. And just while you're doing Zumba, okay, I'm going to see if I can't get you to just kind of giggle while you're doing Zumba. Right in the middle of the most exotic Zumba pose, okay? I want you to think and picture in your head out, it's very quiet here in the building. The avian bowl is going on. Somebody just rang in with the correct answer. And there's the chicken whisperer in the background throwing confetti with a big loud horn going, wah!
I'll keep that visual in mind, Whisper. That visual in mind. Yeah.
No problem.
By the way, it's been great fun. Thanks for letting me check in this morning.
You're welcome.
Join in a little bit. And so, of course, as I exit stage left, may the flock be with you all evermore. Love you all so much, and have a wonderful weekend. And safe trip back. Talk with you Monday.
All righty, we'll see you on Monday, Pat. Thank you very much for joining us. May you have a wonderful and safe weekend. And may the flock be with you as well. Thank you very much for joining us. That's our co-host.
And with you. Okay, bye-bye.
All righty, Dr. McCray just went and got us another great interview today. And when does the egg judging actually start?
As soon as Dr. Zimmerman comes over.
Gotcha. To the area where he's going to be doing. Okay, perfect. Well, that's great. We're not going to bother him while he's judging the eggs. And besides, since our HD video isn't working today, but we have some egg judging going on today. And this is new to a lot of people and a lot of our listeners. You think egg judging. And that doesn't actually mean, because I would have been a judge if I thought that they were going to be scrambled or fried or maybe put into an omelet. But that's not the case. I'm not going to be judging that or the taste of the egg. But this is a different type of egg judging. I've seen this only once other touring the country at an actual poultry show. Very, very interesting. And first, if you'll tell us your name and a little bit about yourself, then we'll get into the specifics of egg judging and what exactly all that means.
My name is Nick Zimmerman. I'm a professor at the University of Maryland in College Park. My background is that I did a research. I got my doctorate out of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. I got my doctorate doing research with turkeys. I was a turkey endocrinologist, reproductive physiologist. There, I threw a bunch of 10-letter words at you.
That's amazing.
Actually, I just liked turkeys. I like poultry, period. And when I was in high school, I worked on a poultry farm, and I just got it in my blood. And then when I went to college, I wanted to be a veterinarian. Wasn't getting the grades to be a veterinarian, so my second love was the poultry.
Don't let him fool you now, though. I mean, PhD, You know, it's I mean that, and all those great things. I mean, like I said, weren't the that you know, but I know it, yeah, the go ahead. That's just again the you know, we love to tour around the country and we talk with so many experts in their field, and so we're so fortunate to be able to do this. And so when we talk to the PhDs, especially like with Dr. McRae and others around the country, it's just amazing the level of knowledge and that they love to share their knowledge with so many people and educate so many people on what they've learned and the studies that they've done. So number one, thank you for being on the show. But that's wonderful.
Well, thank you. But anyway, I could tell you a lot of stories. I've been around for a long time. I worked at Rutgers for a year. Then I went out to Washington State University for 12 years. When I was there, I was working on eggshell quality. I don't know if your listeners know it, but when you go to a grocery store and buy a dozen eggs, if you find one that's broken, you usually find a replacement dozen, right? But if you're a farmer out there raising eggs to sell to the public, they actually experience one egg broken per dozen that their hens lay. And that's a big loss. You know, just like you go to a grocery store, you're not going to buy that dozen with a broken egg in it. But that's what the commercial egg producers experience. So that's a big problem for them. So I worked on that for about 10 years, came up with some solutions, but it's still a big problem. Then I came out here to Maryland. And here, for the first 10 years, all I worked on was broiler chickens. Now I've been transferred back to the main campus, and I teach introductory poultry science and also avian physiology. So that's what I'm doing now. But then I go to shows like this, and I can do other things that are more fun.
Got to have a little fun, absolutely. So you were talking about, one broken eggshell, when you're talking about millions of dozens, but it can really add up when you've got that one broken shell. Someone's not going to buy that dozen or the number of eggs that may not be able to sell now. It sounds like from all your research, you did all this research on helping them for years regarding that one specific problem. Obviously, so our listeners know, it's a lot more detailed than just adding some oyster shell.
Much more detailed than that. A lot depends upon the breed and whether or not they stay healthy. We have a lot of, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but we do have issues with keeping chickens healthy. And oftentimes, if the chickens come down with something, the quality of the egg will go down. Either there'll be ridges on the eggshell, or more likely, the internal quality will go down. But that's what I'm going to judge here today. What I do is for the eggshell. Well, we're going to be judging dozens of eggs here. So they're entered, and the entrant must tell me what the size of the egg is, and I'll be weighing a whole dozen, and I'll determine whether or not they entered the right size. Then what will happen is I'll look at all the shells in the dozen and just see how uniform they are. And there will be white eggs, and there will be green eggs and blue eggs, and they need to be uniform. After that, I'll determine whether or not they entered them in the correct size category. And if I'm feel in a good mood, what I'll do is, and they put in the wrong weight class, I'll just fill out another entry form for them. But otherwise, I can just disqualify that dozen of eggs.
So if I've been collecting eggs this week to want to come in and have judged, then I can bring you a dozen eggs in a carton from all different breeds and different colors, blue, greens, and browns. And all of them in that egg carton have to be in that one carton, say large, extra large, medium, and they have to be sized that way in that carton. But they could have another carton of mixed colored eggs from different breeds of chickens, but that whole carton has to be, all those eggs have to be that one, say, size large or extra large based on what they weighed them at.
They all have to be the same color in the carton because we're looking at them for uniformity. Even within a size category, the closer they are to uniform size, the higher they'll be graded. We don't want mixed colors of eggs because that's not what we're looking for.
You're comparing the whole carton. So you'll have a carton of all your white, a carton of all your green, a carton of all your blue and your browns. And then, so you look at that and you're looking to make sure uniform and that they did actually, the entry graded them right as far as the quality and the size and whatnot. And then at that point, where do you take that and continue?
From there, what I'll do is I'll select one egg randomly out of the carton, and I'll weigh it, and then I'll break that egg open, and I'll look at the internal quality. There's measures we can make. It's called a Haw unit. It's actually a measure of how high the thick albumen is, and that's the quality of a good egg. The higher the albumen is, the higher the quality of the egg is.
And also for our listeners, an egg that may have been laid maybe this morning versus a week ago, that can affect the height. I'm guessing an older egg may not have the thickness of the white or the yolk and whatnot. So are these eggs mostly collected soon for the competition? Like, I guess the quality of the egg is going to be better if they can collect them this morning before they came here, correct? Or
yeah, that's correct. The fresher they are, the better egg quality albumen there will be. Last year when I was judging here, I found one carton of eggs where the family had apparently been selecting and saving really good eggs for a long period of time. And what I was doing is I was randomly candling them. And as the egg gets older, that air cell gets larger. And I went through there and I found out that they were kind of taking advantage of the contest. But I didn't disqualify them because they didn't realize that's what they were. That was because they didn't understand the contest. But that's okay. Everyone's here to learn.
Absolutely. That's what we're all about, is educating the masses on the benefits of backyard poultry. Now, you said you candle the egg, and so I guess at that point you're going to look at that the space in there and look for any kind of blood spots. But even then, you're also going to crack the egg and then, of course, look at the texture of the inside of the egg as well.
That's correct. The other thing about whether the egg was laid this morning or last week, the grade will likely go down over a week. A lot depends upon how it's been stored during that time. If it's been stored underneath the hen, the quality egg is going to go down really fast. If it's stored in a refrigerator, not only will the quality stay up, but it'll also be a safer egg for the consumer to eat. The longer that egg stays in the hen house, the more potential it has to get contaminated with some sort of a bacteria that could make your customers or yourself sick.
Now, the question on the tip of my tongue here. When you crack the egg, are you also looking at the difficulty, the hardness of that shell when you go to crack that egg? Because many of the people who have backyard eggs know you may go to the grocery store and those eggs crack so easily. They just, you know, you don't have to do much at all. You get those wonderful eggs out of the backyard and you almost have to work at actually cracking them. So when you crack the egg after you candle it, is that something you look for? The hardiness of that shell?
That's not really what we're looking for in this contest. That was something I used to look at very closely when I was doing my research on eggshell quality. We used to do something called shell weight per unit surface area. It was a calculation we could make depending upon the size of the egg. And that was a really good estimate of how strong that shell is. The other thing you can do to estimate how strong the shell is something called specific gravity, where you put the egg into different solutions of salt water, and depending upon how strong the eggshell is, those eggs will float at some point in time. And that's another real good measure of eggshell quality that the backyard flock owner can do by himself or herself. But at any rate, that's not what I'm looking for today.
I didn't know, because a lot of times people say they judge that by the grocery store egg in the backyard bargain.
The shell is not so much related to where chicken is or how it was grown. It's mostly related to the age of the hen. When a hen first starts laying eggs, it'll have a really hard shell, really thick shell. And as the hen ages, that egg will start getting larger. We all know that. As they get older, they start laying larger eggs. And the longer she lays and the more intense she lays, the more eggs she's laid, that eggshell will get thinner and thinner as she ages, regardless of where you raise them. And more likely than not, if you have a backyard flock and that eggshell gets thin, what will happen is that the eggshell will get broken, and then the hens will eat that egg. And you may never know it was ever laid.
There, absolutely. One last question, since this is just so fascinating to me, and I'm sure all of our listeners, is that you often hear, especially new backyarders or people who now have experienced, you know, fresh eggs from their backyard, and we talk with them, and it's so funny to hear because we just shake their head, yes, it's something we all experience. And that is, they're so used to, for example, fixing boiled eggs for in the morning from the grocery store, and then you go, and when they're done, you just peel them, and half the shell comes off at once. They're just grocery store, it seems like, and then they go and boil their first backyard eggs, and then they go to peel those backyard eggs, and just tiny, tiny little fragments of shell coming off, and they just get so frustrated because now their deviled eggs look all kind of broken up, and they're in pieces, and it aggravates so many people. They're like, oh my gosh, what can we do to do this? Maybe you can kind of shed some light on that for all of our listeners of why, say, a store-bought egg, boy, you're done boiling it and it shells. You can take almost the whole shell off very easily, but those fresh backyard eggs, tiny little pieces, scientifically, kind of what causes that, and why do people start seeing that when they get backyard chickens?
It's not only backyard chickens. You can buy an egg in a store that you'll have difficulty getting it off. I eat a lot of eggs. I generally eat 2 hard-boiled eggs every morning. That's my breakfast. Eggs are the perfect nutrition, as we all know. Everything you need to grow is in that egg. All the vitamins, the minerals, the protein, and the energy is in that egg. We could live perfectly well on eggs, and it's just pretty much the perfect food. It comes in the perfect package, too. we like to say periodically. But what I like to do is, when I buy eggs, the longer they sit around, oftentimes, you know, let them age a little bit, leave them in the refrigerator. And in my experience, if you do that, if they're more than 2 weeks old, and then you cook them up, you boil them that way, that's the way to do it. Do you know how to actually boil an egg, or how to make a boiled egg?
Well, I can tell you how kind of we normally do it, and it varies. We'll add our water, and then we'll actually... Now, wait, because I got aggravated with you, I think, one day, because you added it. Did you add it to the boiling water after it had started boiling? Or did you boil it, you put it in there and then brought the water to the boil with the eggs? Yeah. Some people add salt to their boiling water to prevent maybe some eggshell breakage. Some people don't. I'm guessing what I do is I probably just fill up a pan of water, drop my eggs in there, turn on the heat, and I probably boil them for maybe 12 minutes, you think, something around that area. Maybe even to where I see some of the shells start to crack. And then what I do is I take it off the stove. I drain that hot water, start filling it up with cool water. And then once they're cool, I'll either fix them then, or once they're completely cool, I'll put them back in the fridge for a lunch snack or something. So that's kind of pretty much our routine of kind of how we do it for all the years. But I'm sure all of our listeners do it differently, so we want to hear, I guess, maybe the proper way to do it, or the best way.
The way I've discovered, just like you know, you play around with different methods to do it. The way I found to be the best is that you put the eggs into a pan with cold water, you put it on the stove, and you heat it up until it comes to a slight boil. Then you take the eggs off the stove, and you put a cover on it. And then you just let it sit for 20 minutes. I let it sit for 20 minutes, and then after that, I put the eggs under cold water to cool them off.
So it's not having to bring it to a rapid boil for 12 minutes to do that.
Just letting them sit in that hot water for 20 minutes, they'll cook. And depending upon how hard you want it to cook, you can play around with how long you leave it in that hot water. If you get that green ring around the yolk, it means it's been cooked too much. Yeah, that's a interaction between some of the minerals that are in the egg and some of the proteins.
Okay, let me see if I can see the question in the chat room. Go ahead.
Why do you put the tops down to have the eggs
to judge? Why do we
put the tops down for the eggs? The tops down for the eggs to be judged.
Oh, I actually must have missed that. A question in the chat room. Why do you put the small end goes down? So they're saying the small end goes down when during judging. Is that what the question is?
Actually, the large end goes up.
And, right. Small
mm-hmm.
end down, large end down. Okay. Okay. He's got to go and start judging. Okay. And or is it why do you store eggs small end down or so? Oh, for judging. Okay.
Actually, for judging, I want all the large ends up. The correct way to store eggs so that they they stay longest is the storm with the large end up.
And when you go to incubate eggs, small end goes down, large end perfect. Okay. Thank you very much. I know that, Dr. McCray, it's time for you to start your expertise in judging those. Go ahead.
You need to have the large end up also.
Yes, yes. Large end up, small end down, and placed in the egg turner, correct?
You need to be turned like every 3 or 4 hours for incubating. Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing all your knowledge. Amazing. Wonderful.
We can talk about salmonella later on. We can do that.
We can talk. You hear that? With salmonella. We can talk a little bit about that later on. That's awesome. And we may even actually line up. Maybe you can come on the radio show as a guest sometime. We'll have some topics that we can talk about. We would love to do that. Thank you so much. Amazing interview, folks. I hope you all enjoyed that. That was great. And Dr. McCray came and whisked him off. He's got to go into his private room and start judging. Yeah, I'd love to hear a lot more from him too. Wow. And that's what we're all about here. It's not to hear me ramble about my experiences, because there may be 5, 10 right answers to how to do many things. But we try to use this as a medium to bring you the experts in their field. Like Dr. McCray, like Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, like this gentleman here, Richard Frudenberger. That's what we're all about, to get you the experts to tell you what it's like. So, yeah, I think you'd be a great guest too, Tater Farm, in the chat room. So how cool was that interview? I learned a lot. So, okay, let's see. Jen's saying that we've got some things going on. The young guy?
Who?
Okay. We'll come back. Looks like one of the most popular venues here is, of course, First State Vet Supply table here with our good friend, the Chicken Doctor, Peter Brown. And we're going to come on down here. We got a table here advertising University of Delaware, hobby, poultry, and pet birds, of course. And we've got that going on. Hello, how are you doing? Good, good. And so... anybody else that you know of, or just okay? Perfect. Okay, are you with the booth here?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. Okay, so we've got the University of Delaware, hobby poultry and pet birds. Know the warning signs of infectious bird diseases, and what are you sharing with the participants here at Cooptastic today? First, tell us your name and what your position is.
Right. I'm Dan Batista. I'm a veterinarian. I'm a chicken veterinarian. I work for the University of Delaware. Specifically the Lasher Laboratory, which is a poultry diagnostic lab. In Delaware, pretty much we are 100% all about chickens. So that's what we do. That's what we do every day. And Delaware is in a unique position that still can provide free poultry diagnostic services. So basically what we want to tell these folks over here, 300 people over here, that who we are, what we do, and please contact us, not just when you have a sick or dead chicken. We certainly want to have that diagnosed, but also when you have some questions. I mean, prevention, and I'm big on prevention too. We don't have to wait for that time when, you know, you'll be having some problems.
Time for a necropsy.
That's right. We can be proactive about a lot of things too. It may not be AI, because we don't have the bad AI that's going around in other places of the world, but we can prevent other things like worms and... it could even management-related disease. So basically a lot of education, too. We're not just tinkering around in the lab, messing around with lab tools, but education is big for what we do.
Now, I'll tell you, because, I'm the national spokesperson for the USDA APHIS program, and so and I've shared many thoughts with them. They know my position on a lot of this stuff, and I told folks when they said, you're going to be doing what? And I'm like, you know, and my comment to them a lot of times was, think about it as having a good guy on the inside to share your concerns with these folks. Because I'll tell you, I know a lot of folks that you know this in your field, because you hear it, I'm sure, a lot. I'm preaching to the choir, where they'll say, if I call my state or if I call USDA because I have a problem, next thing you know, all these black sedans are going to be pulling in my driveway. They're going to be putting up tape. They're going to be quarantining my flock, and they're going to take them all, and they're going to put them all down. So, maybe I lose one or two. And so if you had somebody out there that, you know, this is what's going to happen, I just know it, what would you tell them, basically? So if kind of walk us through the process, at least here in Delaware, if I had maybe 18 birds in my backyard and I lost one today, may not concern me if I haven't lost one in a while, but I lose one 3 days later. and maybe I lose another one 3 days later, and now I'm starting to get concerned versus just losing one every 6 months or a year, whatever the case may be. Kind of walk us through the process from the time that, that telephone call that you get from that concerned flock owner.
Right. Well, I'll take it a little bit up a little bit a little bit up a notch. If they lose one bird, I want to see it. Folks, it's free. Okay. If you can drive to Georgetown, Delaware, drop off that bird. We need to get some information on history and stuff like that, because really history is half the battle for us to do a good job with what we do. So, but if you cannot do that, because birds get sick or die not on a schedule, it could be a Friday afternoon or a weekend, keep it in a cooler. And I just got one of those cheap styrofoam coolers, put some ice on it, do not freeze the bird, and then go to our laboratory and drop it off. Now, our laboratory is available 24/7. It has a walk-in cooler. You can drop it off there anytime and then put a phone number in there, and you can call me some other time. Or, you know what, if you are losing a significant number of birds, I don't care if it's even a weekend, call us. Basically, what we are trying to tell folks is we are here to serve the public. We are on taxpayers' money there. We are here to serve. We want to serve you. Well, you want, that's what we do. So we're 100% chickens. So there's a 24/7 capacity there to get your bird. And at the same time, call us when you drop those birds off, and we'll have a conversation. It may be something significant. It may be not. But the thing is, we're all helping each other out. Most of this funding that comes through is primarily from avian influenza. Folks, we don't have the bad influenza. But the thing is, we also want to have a closer relationship with these small backyard flock growers, because we don't want just them to swoop in there and say, okay, it's not avian influenza, sorry, we have to come in here. So what did my chicken die from? I said, it's outside of my line of work. Well, that's what frustrates people, and that's why they don't come back to agencies from the university and government, because they feel like they're only interested in the big stuff. And 99% of the problems out there is not even influenza. For us to have a win-win situation is we need to help them out on worming, stuff that most chickens have.
Coccidiosis, coryza.
That's right. So we feel from a government university standpoint that if we're there to help them out, they're more likely to inform us if there is something significant. Then it's all a win-win situation. We have a more robust surveillance system for the diseases that matter in the big term. But I'm not saying I'm poo-pooing coccidiosis. It's not something that's not. It's a win-win. It's what we're looking for. And so basically we're telling folks, this is what we do. We're here for you. Please contact us. We'll find a happy medium where I'll be helping you. We'll be helping the government. We'll be helping the big commercial industry in a way. There is a happy medium there. It's not an all or none situation.
No, that's absolutely wonderful, and we appreciate you sharing that with all of us. Now, the last number that I saw, which is amazing, because we have listeners all over the country, rural and urban areas, and you know, we'll hear them talk about, well, there's not, you know, my vet won't see chickens, or you know, we don't have an avian vet in this area. The last number I saw that regarding the whole entire North American continent, there were at or even a little less than 200. Certified avian veterinarians. Has that number grown any over the last couple of years? That's just kind of the numbers that I see a lot that pop up recently. And on the whole entire North American continent, less than 200 certified avian vets. Do you see more people getting into that and going all the way to get that certification?
I don't see any indication that it has grown anything significantly. I think it's a symptom of a larger phenomenon where a lot of veterinarians haven't gone into food animal production, whether that's dogs, cattle and other farm animals. It's just the economics of it. An average veterinarian goes out of vet school with $150,000 debt. And somehow they have to recoup that. And the easiest way is small animal practice. That's why the government is having this, this program right now that in part will defray some of this. If you're willing to work in a underserved community.
I know that that's a big, big comment that you made, that people say, you know, I got a dozen chickens. I paid $3 a piece for them. So, you know, I mean, yes, I mean, you do hear people that, you know, $3,000 for hip surgery for their golden retriever, or, you know, kidney surgery for their cat, $2,500. And, you know, they may have got that cat for free. People do keep their, huh? What's that? Just for a second? Okay, so, just do a sound check in the chat room real quick. Sound check in the chat room. How do you hear? We're doing okay? Okay, it may just been our connection here. Every now and then, yeah. It's just, bear with us. Broadcasting live, and we're at liberty of the internet gods. So that's a big problem, too, is like, you know, I paid $3 for this chicken at the feed and seed store, and now, you know, all this. So that's another thing. I know people love their chickens. They're their pets. They take care of them. Their name. Jen's got, you know, a bunch of virus. You know, she's so we get. But I don't think and some people will. But we still have that roadblock of I paid $3 for this chicken, and now this is going to cost me so much. Do you? I'm sure you see that a little bit.
Yes, it's quite a common phenomenon, you know. And the thing is, the less people are invested, whether that's emotionally, financially, physically, in what they do, there tends to become problems. You know, when we're talking about diseases, for example, the ones that are less invested in what they do would care less about health issues, about things like biosecurity. You know, I only have 3 chickens, so I'll just buy them from a less reputable auction store. And usually that would probably be 99 to 100% mycoplasma positive, or, you know, chronic respiratory disease. In the long term, you'd probably be spending a lot more getting medications for that bird, which probably will not get any better. So it's the concept, the thinking behind, you know, having $300 spent on your dog shouldn't be any different if you are really serious about growing chickens or anything, because quality costs.
Absolutely. And I tell people a lot of times, because the naysayers, or you'll see in the newspaper article, well, what do you do when the hen stops laying eggs? And then we have to quickly explain to them that, you know, it's not just about eggs. I mean, you have the pet aspect. Chickens can be great pets. They still will compost. They will still make compost and fertilizer. There's still great insect control. So just because you lose one of all the great benefits of chickens doesn't necessarily – just because your dog has hip surgery and now can't play ball means your dog is worthless. It still has advantages there. So the people who say, oh, when it gets so old and stops laying or doesn't lay that frequently, what are you going to do? And you have to explain to them all these other benefits of why you keep the backyard poultry, not just about eggs. So that's perfect. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you being here. And we're going to head on down the road here and interview some more folks. Thank you.
You too.
Okay, let's see how we are on on time here. Let me get over here to the switchboard. Okay, wow, just 30 minutes. Whew, okay, let's move right along here. All right, where's that? Yep. Okay, let's try to get this cart going. Heading down here, we've got all kinds of chicken goodies. We've got chicken artwork that they're selling here, notepads, paintings. They've got a beautiful old barn window that's painted with some really beautiful hens on it nesting. We've got, chicken clocks. And here we've got all kinds of decorative items, chicken purses, chicken placemats, chicken tote bags, chicken aprons, chicken trivets, decorated eggs we've got here as well. Coming on down here, we've got some stores here selling rooster crossing signs, rooster calendars. We've got, warning, this property is protected by a highly trained ninja rooster. Signs to crow about is what we have here. And then we got Farm Service Agency here handing out some koozies. Okay, now we come over here. We're at the other end of the large building, and now we've got another educational session. So in the opposite corners of the building, we have educational seminars going on. I think this one looks like it's making a business out of your backyard hens. I'm looking right now on the PowerPoint, finding your niche. What are your potential customers looking for? Organic, free-range, pastured birds, flavor. So this gentleman's teaching us all about if you're wanting to, or if you already do keep chickens and you're looking at maybe making a little profit off of those, how to actually do that and things to think about. So, again, all day long we're having educational sessions here. We're coming over here kind of towards the middle of the building, coming back up towards our booth, and we have about half a dozen beautiful chicken coops here. And again, wish I had the HD video here, but we will have pictures of all of this, folks, on our Facebook page, and we'd love for you to join us. Over 10,000 fans strong on Facebook, and if we could just get our other 10,000 listeners to join us, then we could double that number. So, but it's a great chicken coops here. We got show special. We've got one here for that 4x6 is $9.99. This is a beautiful, beautiful chicken coop. It is a 4x6. It's got five nesting boxes. It's got a side walk-in door that you can walk in to clean. It's got a couple of beautiful windows that actually open up with the screens. It's got the door. $9.95 for a 4x6. How awesome is that? We've got a barn-style coop here. And then we're going to come over here. It looks like we've got a local store here. That's you want to join me here? All righty, I think we may have another interview here. If you'll go ask and just kind of confirm that, then we may have another interview here, maybe another couple before we kind of wrap it up. But again, we'll be taking pictures of a lot of this, folks, and sharing it with you. We do hope that you're enjoying the radio show today. I, again, hate to do this, but I, again, want to apologize because our HD video is not working. It is not a problem on our end. It is, a problem over there at Blog Talk Radio, where our video is not one, and we've had this problem before, so I know it is on them. And so we do apologize because, again, over the last 3 months, we've gone to HD video when we were out on location, and we love it. Again, for 2 years, we've been doing the live chat room and the live audio, just like radio show. And so we try to be your eyes and ears best we can. And but then when we had the option to go to live HD video, we upgraded all of our equipment, got an HD video camera and webcam and lighting and the whole nine yards. And so we wanted to share that with you. But it's just not in the cards for today's show, and I apologize. But we're trying to be your eyes and ears. So far, I think we've had some awesome interviews, including with the 4-H kids. It's great. I can't wait to attend the Avian Bowl and then talk to folks like that. So and you just might have to hear that loud horn in the background. So hang on just a second. Looks like we had a fan just come up. How are you doing?
Tell everybody I said hi.
And your screen name?
Dragonfire.
Dragonflyer is here live at Cooptastic, folks. I don't guess I've ever seen a picture of you. So everybody in the chat room, come over. We got the chat room open right now.
I have the chat room open right now.
Yeah, and so you can see all. We see who all we got in here. We've got BYP.
Yep, BYP.
Dragonfly BYP. Farms.
Everybody's
yep.
Here.
Everybody's here. Absolutely. So okay.
Everybody but
you. So yep. So everybody in the chat room, go ahead and type in hello, Dragonflyer.
Hey, guys!
That's why she's not in the chat room today, because she is here live. So how cool is that? You going to be here for a little while?
Yeah, sure I am.
Awesome, because we've got about, I think, 30 minutes left of the show, or until our batteries go dead. And and then we're going to be hitting some of the classes and talking to some of the folks and having a real good time. So there you go. Hi. Tater Farm saying hi. And of course, we're on about a 30-second delay, so they'll come on in here. And of course, we couldn't get there. You go, hey Dragon, VIP 386, awesome, very cool.
So great deals here.
Great deals,
yeah,
very good.
Really great deals, and found a place that a lady I'm going to be getting ceramics from.
Getting some ceramics, very good. What kind of great deals did you find here?
Let's see, chick grit for $5. Funny Farmer's here. I bought $28 worth of signs from her.
Funny Farmer from the chat room.
Yep.
Funny Farmer, is that? Okay, cool. We'll have to go and say hello to her then. Perfect.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I was rather surprised. Yeah, I saw her when we first came in and went.
That's great. That is awesome. Awesome. Well, we got maybe, I want to try to get three more people, and then we may end up wrapping it up. So.
That's the ceramic lady.
Okay, perfect. All righty. Thank you very much for stopping by. All righty, cool. All righty, how are you doing today? Good. Tell us your name and what your involvement is here with Cooptastic.
Okay, my name is Philip Plower. I'm from Penn State University. I'm here today to give two different presentations. One's dealing with the grading and sizing of eggs, and I guess the other one is they're trying to get a new youth program going in broiler production and meat production.
A new youth program for broiler production, and would that be through like 4-H FFA?
Yes, 4-H and FFA typically are the organizations that support that.
What are some of the things you're going to be, I know you'll be having your time in teaching that, but just if you can hit some of the talking points about what you're going to be sharing regarding the grading of the eggs.
Well, a lot of the backyard small producers don't understand sometimes what it means as far as regulations for grading eggs and things like that. And different states have different regulations, obviously. But most of the states, if you don't size or grade your eggs, you have to label your carton as unclassified eggs. And most people don't understand that or realize that. So what we're trying to do is give them a basic idea of how to easily go through and make some decisions as far as, first of all, grade quality of the eggs. And then the other thing is how to properly size them for a dozen of eggs so that, you know, they're doing it in a legal format.
And so I'm sure that includes when you're talking about selling eggs, candling the eggs, and then, of course, weighing the eggs and then labeling appropriately based on your findings?
That's the gist of it, yes. Yep.
Awesome. Well, I know the radio show ends at 12, so one of your segments, we might be able to sit in on that, and I know I'll have some questions and learn from that. And I know Dr. McRae is so glad you could be here, and we are too, and thank you for joining us on the radio show today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. Okay, coming right up here.
And by the way, that's the little girl in the plaid shirt, that's Katie. Remember Katie? You come on with me? My daughter.
Oh, yes. All right, so we'll go say hi to Katie here in a minute, too. Absolutely. She's got... That's so funny. Very cool. All righty. Perfect. No problem. Don't want to drive the customers away. When we were here the other night, we had to come by because you do have...
Let me get all my wires on.
You do have, of course, a lot of the ManaPro products, which we love. So tell us, yep, and so you've got some of their Harvest Delight poultry treat. And how is that doing for you? Very well. Very good, yep. And because I'm going to read this to you. It's the ManaPro. It's Harvest Delight poultry treat. Whole grains, peanuts, carrots, tomatoes, raisins, flaxseed, sunflower seeds. And it is in a 2.5-pound bag. Of course, you have the medicated, non-medicated starter and all the other goodies with the ManaPro. But these are some new products that they've actually come out with. And are you familiar with the Poultry Protector? Okay, tell us a little bit about it. We've got the Poultry Protector. We've actually talked a little bit about this on our Facebook page. We've put a picture and a link to it. And it's Poultry Protector from Carefree Enzymes. Again, all natural, safe alternative to harsh chemical treatments. It's non-toxic. This is poultry conditioner concentrate. And my understanding this is Poultry Protector. Where's the poultry? Let's see. We've got some other here. Okay, let's talk about the Poultry Protector first, because that's also is good, too, when we talk about mites and lice on there being all natural. A lot of people use DE, diatomaceous earth, as you know, all natural. But tell us a little bit about the Poultry Protector and your opinion on that product.
All natural products, safe for people, safe for chickens, safe for any other livestock you happen to have outside. Love it. You just concentrate. You mix it with the required amount of water. We actually use it in a sprayer. Very easy to use.
Very good. And so, again, with being all natural, you don't have to worry about the issues, especially if you're eating the eggs and the harmful to your chickens. And, again, all natural spray that you can actually spray as well if you don't want to have to deal with all the dust of the diatomaceous earth and whatnot. And then we've got the all-natural egg cleanser that they've come out here with, of course, with ManaPro. And you've got the concentrate and, of course, the spray bottle in the Poultry Protector as well. And I think I saw these actually at a trade show where you can do both water and feeder on this. Yep. So you have one base. You've got one base, and that one base flips over, so you can use the same, say, jar for both a feeder or a waterer. So the base, you just flip it over, whether you want to use it at that particular time. So then you just buy, instead of having to buy a separate base for waterer and a separate base for feeder, they have a gallon size, don't they? Yeah, they do have a gallon size. I think I saw that at the BCI trade show. Yeah, that's where you saw it. Grace, were you there at BCI up there? Okay, great. Yeah, absolutely. So we were there too. So we're starting to see, as we travel around the country, seeing all these great folks, that whether it be the trade show or a specific brand show or here at Kubetastic. So very cool. And one thing I saw that you may have seen, and I'm sorry if it's competition, I'm not real sure, but it was like a chicken treat ball. And it would come apart, and you could put – are you familiar with that?
I didn't get them in yet.
But you have got some of those in. Okay.
It's made by this company.
Yes. Licks it, exactly, absolutely. And it's really neat. It's actually a ball, a treat ball, and it's split in half, and it's held together kind of with some elastic, I guess. And then you put whatever treat, which, again, you could put the Harvest Delight right in there, and then the chickens learn when they hit that or kick that little ball, it sprinkles some out for them. So that is so cool. Very, very clever. So we've got that. Thank you so much for being on the radio show today with us. So, look, we're getting ready for the Avian Bowl. Getting ready for the Avian Bowl. Here, I'm going to go. Wah, wah. We've got little buzzers. We've got the table ready. She's getting ready with the contest. Very cool. In fact, one more second. Okay. Get me over to Peter Brown. And we're going to go over and interview Peter Brown and my wonderful, wonderful partner in crime, my wife, Jen. Needs a little bit of a break, so we're going to go over here to interview our good friend, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, and then we'll give Jin a little bit of a break. Let's come down here so we don't interrupt his customers, and we'll go ahead and I'll get in here in the chat room. Very cool. Yeah, if you go to... Manapro.com. They were talking about it in the chat room. Thank you. Then put in your zip code. I think you can see where the products are carried in your area regarding the poultry protector. Again, all natural. It's made by a company called Carefree Enzymes, and that's specifically for mites and lice. Awesome. In fact, I talked to the gentleman last week. I've got to send him 3 or 4 dates where he can come on the radio show and talk all about that. And they have water protector as well. So they got the poultry protector. They've got water protector. They've got the egg wash as well, all natural through Carefree Enzymes. And I have the gentleman talk to him actually last week. And all I have to do is send him an email with about 3 or 4 dates where he can come on, and he's going to tell us all about his products, why his products work, why the water protector may be better than apple cider vinegar or equal to, or the advantages of. Like apple cider vinegar, you can't use in the galvanized metal containers, but you can apparently with this water protector. So very interesting. It also protects if your birds poop in the water, because it's all natural enzymes. It's still, from what I understand, safe to drink, and it's going to start attacking that bacteria that's in the water if they happen to poop in the water. So it's just going to be really, really interesting when we have him on. And so to tell us about his all-natural Carefree products, the owner and inventor, the creator of the company, will be on the radio show. So we're going to have to try to get that done, and I'll let you know as soon as we do that. So then you can make an educated decision what you want to use, or even using both. If you continue to use the apple cider vinegar, if you choose to do that, if you don't use anything, if you do want to use the water protector, we'll have him on. He can explain to us about how it works, why it works, the whole 9 yards, and then you can make a decision whether it's worth it to you to use that product in your water. So, again, don't want to cost Peter Brown any business, of course, from all of these great folks, but we're going to try to get him down here and interview Peter. Since he is on awesome on the radio show, he comes on, I think his assigned date is the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month. Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder and owner of First State Vet Supply. Let me tell you why it's so unique. If you go and you hear our commercials played for First State Vet Supply, is that everything you order from Peter comes with specific directions for your backyard flock. It's not going to say, mix this in 800 gallons of water for, 9,000 birds. No, he's got it all. Just, I think every product comes with specific directions based on your backyard flock. So if you have 3 birds, 6 birds, 12 birds, whatever, he will send. He's already done all the math. He's done already the formulation and will send you exactly the amounts to treat your birds, and whether it be medications, additives for the water, whatever the case may be. And so that right there is worth it You have to pull out the old Texas Instruments $120 calculator to try to figure all this calculation out based on three birds that you have in your backyard that you want to treat. It's already done. It's absolutely already done. So, and that's just one great thing. But his knowledge base, he's got decades and decades of experience. He's got a poultry science degree. And I'm telling you, you know, I understand that, you know, without those labs, without those tests and whatnot, you know, it's hard to diagnose. He's been doing this so long, folks, for decades. If you call him up, because he also, just like I talked with the avian veterinarian, when we talked about there's less than 200 certified avian veterinarians on the North American continent, okay? So he has a great opportunity at First State Vet Supply, a consultation, $25, $25. And you call him up, he will help you. You give him all the information you know about your bird and the particular instance of the problem you're having. If anybody can diagnose it over the phone or help you or trying to get you in the right direction, it's going to be Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. And you can get all that information about his consultation. If he doesn't think he helped you, okay, no fee. No fee. He's got an honest integrity and a great person, and he talks about that. That if I don't think I helped you, I'm not charging you. Or if you buy a particular amount from his store, then he'll basically there's no charge for that if you buy what's our good friend Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, here at First State Vet Supply. Awesome, like five tables full of all kinds of stuff. How are you doing today?
Doing very well today, Andy.
Very good. We've missed you on the show. We've been praying a lot for you. We can't wait you to get back. I think the second week in April that you'll be back with us. So we've already started talking about topics that we're going to be talking about, which is great. Tell us so far today, because we've seen you on the road a lot. So far today, what seems to be the most popular item?
It's a self-watering automatic bucket water. It's a self-contained unit that's low pressure. You just put it inside of any 5-gallon, 2-gallon bucket. Fill a bucket and it's automatic.
That's awesome. I know that's popular at really a lot of the shows. And what would say is the close runner-up to that item today?
That would be the new 1.5-gallon water that we have with a handle on it. And people like it because you can hang it and easy to carry back and forth to the coop.
And it's 1.5-gallon?
1.5 gallons.
Very good. Awesome. You have just about anything under the sun here for anybody that has some backyard poultry, or if you're getting started with backyard poultry, including, of course, all of your medications that anybody would ever want. Tell us, because I just explained it to them, because we just talked to an avian vet down here, and I specifically said there's less than 200 certified avian vets on the whole North American continent. We hear all the time, oh, it's 3 hours to the closest vet, or I don't want to drive down to my state office, or, you know, my local vet won't even talk to me about my birds. What do I do? I need some help. And a lot of times when you reach out for help, you might get 4 or 5 right answers. You might get 4 or 5 wrong answers from people. And so the service that you have, the consultation, which is an awesome program, tell our listeners a little bit about how you do that, and if they have a sick bird, how that can help them instead of having to maybe, you know, $100 fee here at the vet and then up, and then maybe having to drive 4 or 5 hours. Tell us about your consultation program, Doc.
Yeah, they'll call me at 410-546-6137, and we'll talk about their health problem. If I can't solve it, there's no fee. If I do have an answer for them and they want to buy the products from me, there's no fee. If they choose to buy elsewhere, then I charge $25. And it works out fairly well. It's fair and equitable for everybody. And the avian vet you're talking about is Dr. Batista. He's a close friend of mine. We work hand in hand with some of the problems that we encounter with some of these consultations.
That's great. That is very perfect. So I was explaining earlier, what a great opportunity. I don't want to take away from your customers, because that's why you're here, to help all these folks about their needs with their backyard poultry. So I just wanted to come over and say howdy, and I'll see you after the show as well. Thank you for being here. Our good friend, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, you can visit him, First State Vet Supply, firststatevetsupply.com. Get all kinds of great information there. Looks like they're getting ready for the Avian Bowl. Nope, that's not what I'm having for lunch, folks. The true avian bowl, kind of like the Super Bowl for the 4-H and FFA. Yes, questions about game birds. Yeah, anything like that. You want to take advantage of that. It's, how awesome is that? $25, and you're getting right information, the correct information. not just, oh, I think it's this, I think it's that, and maybe a little bit of that, but he'll, you know, he's been doing it for decades. Totally, lots of decades. Okay, we're going to try to go down here and talk to someone else who frequently is in the chat room, Funny Farm, or Funny Farmer, and she's got all kinds of different signs that she's got for sale. I'm going to try to get down here in a hurry. Excuse us, and trying to get... So we're going to come down here and talk to her. Signs to crow about. Coming on down here. All righty. She's got some funny bumper stickers. Oh, my gosh. Can you hand me that bumper sticker right there on the top? I got to share that with my listeners. Okay, we've got a bumper sticker. Jen is going to say this needs to go on the back of my pickup truck. I know. It says, God must love stupid people because he made so many. Okay, let me get this back over here. Hang on. Perfect. Let me just tell you some of the songs we have. We have Bagok. We've got Cheap, Quack, Cluck, Got Chickens. It says, oh, good, biosecurity, stop. We work hard to keep our flock healthy. Please see the owners before entering this area. Thank you very much. Chicken lover parking only. Please use our free foot bath, or my foot will show you the way back to the road. I love that one. That's real. I love it. So somebody suggested that actually in our live chicken chat room. Please use our free foot bath, or my foot will show you the way back to the road. I love that. We've got Chicken Country, watch your step. Warning, this property is protected by a highly trained ninja rooster. We are not responsible for personal injury or death. We've got iron-ons for T-shirts. We've got street signs, Goat Alley, Turkin Street, all different kinds of things, which is absolutely awesome. We've got all kinds of different stickers here as well, and they're about $2 each, or $3, $4, $5. So let me get over here a little bit closer. And what I need. And it's Funny Farmer.
Yes.
Funny Farmer in the chat room. So everybody in the chat room, all of y'all know Funny Farmer, who's in the chat room every day. Let's go ahead and send a shout out. I know it's on a 30-second delay. Go ahead in the chat room, put, hey, Funny Farmer. Hey, Funny Farmer. Okay, Kara says hello already. Kara, they're saying hello. How you doing? And perfect. So, very cool. So she is here with all of her awesome signs. We may have to, you know, I may have to actually get one of these and put on the rental car that we've got before we take it. Yeah, on the train, yep, absolutely. Put it on the plaster on the side of the train. Ralph says hello. Ralph, yep, Funny Farmer says hello. So there's lots of people that are in the chat room that are here today. We saw Denny that's here today, and we saw... Dragon Flyer, we've got Funny Farmer, of course, Dr. McRae. Looks like... Okay, turn around. Okay, perfect. We're going to head on back. Renegade Chicken says hello in the chat room. All righty, we're going to head back to our booth. We've pretty much covered all the way around the place. And looks like I'm just going to guess we probably have about 15 or 20 minutes left. And, of course, I've got to go and be not a contestant. You don't want me on your team. Okay, we're heading over this way. We're going to go. Oh, sorry, thank you. There we go. Trying to get over to our assigned booth after being on the road here. And very, very cool. All righty. Oh, yeah. Well, right next to us, folks, and we got a picture of this on our Facebook page yesterday. It's lined off, so nothing gets broken. But it's antique. Good. My battery, I think, is okay. Antique. I haven't got a pop-up yet. Antique chicken waterers and feeders and egg crates and egg boxes and egg cartons made out of wonderful ceramics, pottery, some metal ones as well, some wooden egg crates. It's a really a neat display. It's the first, it's one of the best displays I've ever seen on the road for antique chicken equipment. It's really, really cool. and how they made it, the pottery, waterers, feeders, egg cartons, egg crates. It's really, really neat, so very awesome. So we have kind of toured the entire building. Again, if you're just tuning in, thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you will be able to listen to the archive of the show. We had some awesome interviews from some true egg experts in their field here today, and that's what this event is all about. It's about education. We have two educational corners going on with PowerPoint presentations in two opposite corners of the buildings. So continually from 10 until 4, we've got classes going continually for that entire time. You can get your, when you check in, your bag full of goodies. You can decide which ones interest you. You can go and sit down and learn from the experts in their field with backyard poultry and show poultry and sustainable lifestyle. Do that. Plus, there's some vendors here. There, again, we talked to some of them that are selling some of their arts and crafts. We've got First State Vet Supply here, Delaware State University is here, and other local stores that are here selling a lot of their great poultry supplies here to the participants, which is great. And, of course, 4-H is here. FFA is here. We're about to have an avian bowl, which I got to get a front row seat for. This is so cool. And I wish we could broadcast that live because that would be a hoot. Definitely looking forward to that. And again, HD video just didn't pan out today. So we'll see what kind of emails I get back from Blog Talk Radio because I send them some doozies. but no problem. It's just like the good old days. Over the last couple of years, we have been broadcasting live from on location from across the country. Over the last 3 months, we have implemented HD video, but it just didn't pan out today, and I apologize for that. But I think we still had a great show. We made up for some awesome, awesome interviews. And what's going to happen is we're going to break this down here at the radio show booth, and then Jen and I are going to walk around and meet some more folks and talk to some more folks and participate and be in the crowd here. At the Avian Bowl. I can't wait for that. And we'll see what kind of great food we can get here to support some of the FFA and the 4-H. And you can find the rules for the Avian Bowls at the National 4-H Poultry and Egg Conference website. Very cool. I guess that's what Dr. McRae just probably shared that with Jen. Very good. And I guess we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up. So, again, I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show. We had a great fun. I'm so glad Pat could join us for about an hour this morning, my co-host Pat Foreman, author. And so glad I was invited here by our good friend and who comes on the show, Dr. McRae, PhD, poultry scientist, small flock specialist, and professor at Delaware State. And, of course, Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, that egg expert. Oh, how cool was that, judging the eggs? And our great interviews with the wonderful folks here at the 4-H kids and that are going to be participating in the Avian Bowl. I see a lot of FFA jackets starting to come in. FFA, I see a lot of 4-H green here, and we just love talking with the kids. You can learn so much from them. They're so knowledgeable about poultry. It's awesome. So, again, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. We come to you broadcasting live from our home base in Atlanta. But we do take the radio show on the road all across the country. I think next up may be a trip to Virginia towards the end of April to a feed and seed up there in Staunton, Virginia. There may be one that will pop up before then. And then, of course, we hope to have a big, long book tour, possibly from Miami to New York sometime this fall, September, October. So we hope to see you on our book tour / radio show tour up the East Coast as well. Thank you for all the well wishes in the chat room about safe travel home. Tomorrow, Jen and I will hop back on that beautiful Amtrak train and have a nice, relaxing trip back home. And then we'll hopefully, I'm pretty sure right now, planning, hopefully, broadcasting live this coming Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we always do. And again, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, broadcasting live from Cooptastic in Harrington, Delaware. Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, with Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We will see you all on Monday. And for my good co-host and friend, Pat Foreman, may the flock be with you all. God bless everybody. Thank you.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.